The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 110 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. How have we made it to that? I have absolutely no idea. I'm Stephen Mill, here's Ewan Cameron. How are you doing, Ewan Cameron?
Very good. Had a lovely weekend. Scotland beat Croatia by a goal to nil on Friday night. We'll talk about that shortly. Mm-hmm. Had a lovely Saturday. What did I do on Saturday? I spent some time with you.
Big Saturday football show.
I had an empty on Saturday because my wife was out at an engagement party, so that was nice.
Did you play your PlayStation or did you?
I did play the PlayStation. I played the Masters. I played some FIFA. And also Call of Duty.
All right.
New Call of Duty games. It's very good. So I had a great night till about midnight. Then the wife walked in, half pissed. So that was nice. Also, what put a big smile on my face was the fact that Falkirk got beat.
They did get beat on Saturday.
They got
as well.
Beat on Saturday. And I know that producer John was at Livingston to watch that defeat. And Livingston clawing back the deficit to 3 points at the top of the table.
And I'm sure we'll talk about it more later on in the podcast when we sort of go through all the scores from the weekend. But you didn't happen to see John McGlynn's interview last week with the BBC.
John McGlynn. Oh, that interview where he more or less said that we've got one hand on the trophy and that we're looking forward to finishing in the top six in the Premiership and challenging for European football.
Challenging for European places in the Premiership.
Right, okay.
Okay.
No, listen.
John, we're having a conversation. We'll invite you in a second, mate. You'll have plenty to say when we get to that.
It was odd because he was saying stuff like, you know, we're taking one game at a time and all the usual stuff you would expect. But then in the next sentence, he was going on about, you know, like pushing on in the Premiership and players, we need to improve the squad and all the rest of it. And as you say, pushing for the top six. That's what a club like Falkirk should be doing. Pushing for Europe. I mean, that was a really odd thing to come out with, I think, before such a big game at the weekend, because obviously he was assuming that Falkirk were going to win on Saturday and go 9 points clear.
Or at worst, not get beat.
Exactly, and then the gap would have been 6 points. But however, for anyone who isn't aware, Livingston actually won on Saturday by a goal to nil, so that means the gap is just 3 points at the top of the Championship. And I think Livingston play Airdrie, who haven't won since the opening day of the season this coming weekend, and I'm sure that Falkirk are away at Queen's Park at Hampden.
Who called Donaldson, the Falkirk captain, on this very show said the hardest game they've played this season was against Queen's Park.
Yeah, interesting. So we could have a situation on Saturday night where they're actually, you know, there might just be a point in it.
Or level on points.
Level on points.
Who knows?
Which is quite the turnaround from what, less than a week ago, where John McGlynn was basically celebrating winning the title. So, you know, really odd what happened there.
It's been a big week.
It has been, yes.
So they've been looking at it. Am I reading into that? And I would love Falkirk to be in the Premiership, but am I reading into what happened on Saturday? Is that John McGlynn has put unnecessary pressure on the players during the week ahead of what was the biggest game of the season against Livingston,
it was the game of the day on Saturday.
It was the game of the day. You had the chance to go 9 points clear, and his comments on the Wednesday and the build-up to the game, I think, put way too much pressure on the players, unneeded pressure on the players, and they bottled it.
You think the bottle?
They bottled Saturday.
Absolutely bottled it.
And obviously, producer John, who was there and watched it, the 90 minutes,
well,
will tell us more shortly. Yeah. But we'll get to that. But the other reason why it makes me happy is that we don't have to put up with that happy dance of his.
No happy dance today. And I tell you what, Dunfermline did win on Saturday.
They did win on Saturday.
Which doesn't happen very often, or certainly hasn't happened very often this season.
No.
But I tell you what, I'm not going to subject you to a happy dance. That's not something I'm going to do. So every time Dunfermline win, I'll just be happy that Dunfermline have won.
Right.
And you can imagine me dancing if you want.
And you don't want to rub salt into...
No, exactly. You
don't want to be over the top of your celebration.
Precisely.
You're a bit more muted.
Absolutely.
Unlike producer John and I.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's not my style.
But you'd have to admit that John's happy dance is way worse than mine.
Well, we've seen it about 10 times this season, which is 10 times too many.
And him running around the desk and all that stuff and thrusting his crotch in our face.
And we won't be seeing him today anyway because he is... I mean, he's doing it for a good cause because it's Movember, but he does have a moustache. And, I mean...
Creepy.
I'm not going to say what I called you earlier on, John.
Very creepy looking man.
Absolutely. Get up to anything else at the weekend, June?
Watch the movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, before I get to the movie...
Wait a minute. Is it a 2024 recommendation of the year?
It is the movie of the year.
Of what year?
This year.
What's that year called?
2024. I thought Long Legs that I recommended last week.
You said that was the movie of 2024.
No, I've already beaten it.
So after a week, there's a new movie for 2024. Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that not many people know about, but you have to watch it. Tell you about it in just a second. But first, I have a family. I have a wife and I have three children.
Okay.
And my children can say and ask some interesting, sometimes daft things. So I have a question.
I wonder who they get that off.
Right, I'm going to ask you this question, right? And, right. I had to write it down.
Okay.
Because it was asked at the dinner table at the weekend. Why do we say we're on the bus and not in the bus? But then we say we're in the car, but not on the car. Can someone explain that?
Well, you would also say that you're on the train.
Why are you not in it?
Well, I mean, you are technically in the train. I don't know.
I'm in the train, but you would say I'm in the train.
No, you wouldn't. You would say you're on the train.
No, I've always said, let me just think about that for a second.
Nah, you're totally wrong.
If my wife totally messages me and says, where are you? I would go, I'm on the train. I'm on the train. Yeah, I would say I'm on the train. So why is it in the car and not on the car?
Because car is personal transport, usually, and buses and trains are public transport.
So but what about a taxi?
But taxis are cars.
But
generally,
not personal transport.
Stephen, that doesn't make any sense.
I was trying to throw a theory out there, to be honest with you.
Why do we say we're on the bus and not in the bus, but then we will say we're in the car but not on the car? It doesn't make sense.
But you would also say you're on the plane. I'm getting on the plane.
I'm getting in the plane.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
I'm getting, if before I'm on the plane, no. I'm saying I'm getting in it.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
I'm getting in the plane.
No, you're getting on.
No, Stephen,
you're getting on the plane.
No, you've got that one wrong.
No, think about it, because you thought the same about the train, but think about it. Put yourself in that mode.
Okay, so ask me the question. So just say you don't know where I am.
Oh, let's sort of mock up the conversation. Yeah. You at the airport, Ewan?
Yeah, I'm at the airport. Yeah, I'm here.
Are you boarded?
No, not yet. I'm about to get in the plane.
No, you wouldn't say that.
I am.
I wouldn't say
I'm about to get on the plane.
But you're boarding a plane.
But I'm also boarding a car.
You don't board a car.
I'm stepping into a car, so I'm getting in
the
car.
I think what we've established here, it must be a car thing. But it's not, a car and then everything else. And you'd also say I'm getting on a boat.
So why is it in a car? Why can't you say I'm getting in a car or getting on a car?
Because that wouldn't make sense. Because it wouldn't make sense.
But why?
I don't know, Ewan.
There's nothing stopping us from saying, I'm getting on the car.
Apart from sounding mental.
But then why does it not sound crazy?
I'm getting on a taxi. You wouldn't say that. I'm getting in a taxi. I'm getting in a car.
But you said it sounds weird if I say I'm getting in a train.
Because you wouldn't say that. I'm getting on it.
I'm getting in.
It's quite clearly.
I'm getting in a plane.
I'm getting in a bus. Unless it was your plane. I'm getting in a plane.
If anyone's got an answer to that, I think it's a really good question. If anyone's got an answer to that, leave us a message on YouTube.
Why do we get on planes, trains and buses and in cars and taxis?
Yes. Why?
Yeah.
Why can't we get on a car or on a taxi?
I mean, this... What was the one a few weeks ago?
1-2-1.
Yeah, 1-2-1. I mean, what we actually need is the lassie for Countdown here, Susie Dent.
To work it out for us.
We need to... I don't think we're going to get her on this podcast, though. I don't think this is our bag.
John! Producer John!
Yes, Ewan.
Could you put the feelers out this week to see if Susie Dent would come on the show?
I can ask the question.
To see if she'd give an explanation as to why we can't get in a car.
Would you say... Oh, Susie Dent. I was going to say Carol Vorderman.
No, she doesn't know anything about... She's maths.
Oh, she does it all with Vorderman, does she not?
No, she doesn't.
I mean, I know she puts out the letters and that.
I think Susie Dent has a book out for Christmas. That's a good way.
I would love to get Susie Dent on this podcast. She's so smart.
I think Susie Dent is... And I can't remember where I heard this. She is one of the longest serving continuous TV presenters of all time because she's been on Countdown.
From day one? Has she been there from day one?
I don't know if she's been there from day one.
Because that was back in the 80s, Ewan.
Yeah, but she's certainly been on that show since the 90s. Like, she's been on it a very, very long time.
And she does the 8 out of 10 Cats version of Countdown as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, John, that's your wee bit of homework for this week. Let's see if we can get Susie Dent on and we'll sit and tell her that we'll promote her book for her and that we are on the podcast and we work on Clyde One, Fourth One and Great Sits Radio and all that stuff.
We can ask her these questions as to, like, these language sort of, like, yeah. you know. things.
Yeah, yeah, things
I
that we've got.
She's a massive fan of Scottish football, so I think perfect. That'd be a really
great.
Easy ask.
Right, fantastic. Well, go and put the feelers out, mate. Find
loves
her for us.
For apparently.
And yeah. We'll get her on FaceTime and we'll chat with her about these things. She'll have the answer.
Yeah.
She'll know why it's you kind of get in a car.
So, if you've got any answers to that question, it's on YouTube. You can leave your comments there. Obviously, we will read out the best of your comments next week in the show, which we'll do in just a wee second. But I believe 2024 has a new best film.
I didn't think anything was going to beat Long Legs for the best movie of 2024.
2024 has been quite a good year for... In fact, it's been a good week for films in 2024.
It has been a good week. So Long Legs, I recommended last week. And then I saw a tweet from somebody who named their top 10 movies of the year.
Of
2024. And at number four was this movie.
Right.
And I thought, I've not heard of that one. And I read the synopsis for it, which is a brief description of what the movie was about.
I know what a synopsis is. Yeah.
Just for other people who might not know. Not everyone's Susie Dent out there.
Yeah, well, listen, it's 2024.
Yeah. You're taking a piss, aren't you, with the 2024 thing? You're taking a piss now.
No.
You picked up on it last week.
No, I'm just saying
you're taking a piss.
It's an interesting way of saying 2024.
Right. I don't appreciate you taking a piss.
2024.
So I read the synopsis, which is a brief description of the movie.
Yeah, we know that.
And I downloaded it, and I watched it last night with the wife, and you didn't hear a peep from us all night during the movie. We didn't get up, we didn't pause it. We were hooked from the first second of the movie. We were hooked. We were drawn in. Can you turn that music down a wee bit for me, please, Producer John? It's a bit loud in my ears. Thank you. The movie is entitled Strange Darling.
Okay.
And I'm scared to say anything, so I do not want to spoil it because I want people to watch it the same way I watched it without knowing all about it.
Apart from the synopsis, which for people who don't know is the sort of brief description of the movie.
You can read that.
Yeah, you can read that bit.
And what I will tell you, it's about a serial killer. And this movie starts off by telling you this is a story in six chapters.
Right.
It's a six-chapter movie, and it starts at chapter three.
Right.
And then it goes to chapter five. And that's all I'm going to say. And it is so clever. It is so out there, but in a good way, that for me, this is head and shoulders the best movie of 2024. In fact, I would say it's one of the best movies of the decade.
Of the 2020s.
That movie, Strange Darling, it's an underground
Strange hit. Strange Darling.
It's an underground hit. It's about a serial killer. Starts at chapter three, moves to chapter five, and that's all I'm going to say. It's so good I want to watch it again. It's that good a movie. And when it ended, my wife and I turned to each other and went, wow, what a film that was. It's only an hour and 33 minutes. Get it, watch Strange Darling.
Strange Darling, the film of not only 2024, but the 2020s.
2020s, yeah, 100%. There you go, Strange Darling. Have you seen it, Producer Johnny? Are you aware of it?
Never heard of it.
Get it, watch, mate.
Right, yep. I'm on it.
What
streaming service can we find it on, Ewan?
The telly.
You can find it on the telly.
It's on the telly.
Great stuff. Right, let's get to your feedback on last week's show. On Hoovers, Bobby Supper says, has Ewan Cameron been cleaning his house with a leaf blower? No wonder his in-laws didn't like him. Also, why in that situation would something that blows be better than something that sucks? I don't want anyone who gets pleasure from their bits blowing about in a heavy wind. This was you talking about Hoovers that blow last week.
Okay. I saw there's quite a bit of correspondence about this.
There was quite a lot. If there was ever anyone to know if Hoovers can blow as well as suck, it's Ewan's pal who sees anything. He sees anything that's a toy if you're brave enough. Yeah. This is obviously your packet of crisps pal as well.
And the watermelon guy. So I've got a pal who I shared a tent with that used a Golden Wonder salt and vinegar.
Yeah, right, okay.
Bag.
George Robertson says, Ewan Cameron's defo rode a Hoover.
That's not true. It's not true. It's really not true. I was convinced that my Hoover could blow.
And then you
had me convinced that that was a load of shite.
Right.
So what I did when I went home was the first thing I did is I got my Hoover out.
Mm-hmm.
And I plugged it in and I pressed buttons and I held it to my hand. to see if it would blow or suck. And it just sucked.
Of course it did, because it's a Hoover.
It just sucked. Every button I pressed, it just kept sucking. I don't know what the buttons were doing. I don't know what the buttons meant. But at no point did I feel a blow.
Right, okay.
I just felt a suck. And it was sucking the skin of my hand. It was sucking it in.
It would do.
And there was one time when I pressed the button, it sucked so hard I had to press the switch because it was
You couldn't get it off.
I couldn't get it off.
And then
what I did was I took the attachment off the Hoover to see if that would blow. You know that tubey thing?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's down the side of the Hoover. So I took the tubey bit off and then I also did the suck and blow test.
Okay.
But I didn't do it on my hand this time. I did it on my forearm. So I was doing that. You know, the sucky bit, the tube.
I know what you mean,
just pressing it into my arm and it just kept sucking it. At no point did I feel a blow. It was just a... that. Because when you suck, that bit gets sucked in.
What did it do?
Like that. Cool. And then, so there was no blow. So no, I don't think a Hoover can blow.
You know how John makes a wee sort of like compilation of everything that's happened in the podcast when we put it out later on?
Yes.
As a wee sort of like teaser video.
Uh-huh.
What you just did there will 100% be in it. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, I was making the noise of a suction on your arm. Yeah.
Okay, lots of other feedback as well. We were chatting about basically Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen not giving youth a chance. They haven't so far this season.
But that's a fact.
Played any under-21, Scottish under-21 players
this season.
That's a fact.
We know that. That's a fact.
Chris says, Celtic, to be fair, have tried to give a pathway to players who are deemed good enough for the first team. Karamoko Dembele, Daniel Kelly, Rocco Vata and Ben Doak, to name a few. But the greedy bastards have gone down south at the first team to flash their knickers at them for money rather than career progression. Before then, Hepburn and Morrison would have got their chances, but they also left. The next one, I reckon, will be Cummings. He's banging them in for the reserves just now and deserves a spot on the bench and a run out or two if we're two up in a game or whatever. So yeah, it goes on a wee bit like that. I actually had a couple of other Celtic fans messaging me sort of separately, saying, oh, like, because we mentioned Ben Doak. And they were like, oh, Ben Doak played against Rangers. And I was like, well, I don't remember that. I'm not a Celtic fan. So like I went back and looked, and Ben Doak came on in the 88th minute against Rangers when they were 3-0 up. And then he also came on, I think, a wee bit earlier in the game against Dundee United at a home match, a wee bit after that as well. And that was his only two appearances ever for Celtic. So I think to say that Ben Doak got a chance at Celtic is stretching it in the extreme. Now, fair enough, he was 16 years old. There was also interest from Liverpool at the time. And I think Ange Postecoglou, who was the manager, basically took him out of the limelight to try and get Liverpool to go away, basically. Mm-hmm. But clearly that has not worked and did not work. I think it's just, you know, my point to the people who got in touch with me is, Celtic are in this unique position. And to be fair, we also slaughtered Rangers and Aberdeen for this as well.
What?
And Rangers are not currently in the position, but they probably will find themselves in the position. They have done in the past and they haven't taken advantage of it. Celtic are in this unique position where they are so far ahead of everyone else. I know they're level on points with Aberdeen at the moment, but financially, Celtic are going to win the league, right? Mm-hmm. You're not telling me that when Celtic are 3-0 up at home against St Johnstone at half-time or after the 60th minute, they can't chuck on a couple of young boys.
And just keep chucking them on every
and
time.
Chucking them on. A point was made to me about, you know, had they put on a young boy against Kilmarnock and what was a kind of tough match. And I'm like, well, that's not what I'm suggesting. Like, away at Kilmarnock, using young boys. And they were like, you know, if they make a mistake, then that could be their Celtic career over. And I was like, yeah, it could be, because that's what happens. If you make a massive error, then you're going to have to work to get back into the... Like,
here's an example.
Nobody would ever get a chance if you just thought, well, there's no point in trying them in case they make a mistake. Nobody would ever play.
There's one player that I felt desperately sorry for, and I think he could have had a Celtic career. Jack Hendry. He made a couple of mistakes in his first few games at Celtic and the crowd were on his back. And he never really recovered from that. He shat himself. Again, he's a young lad, young player. He's come from St Mirren. The pressures of being at Celtic, but...
I think it was Dundee, but I think...
Was it Dundee came from?
I think so, yeah. Did he not? Was he not at St Mirren, went down south, Dundee and then Celtic or something like that? I'm sure it was something.
So anyway, but...
I accept your point. What I would say about that is, yes, I totally agree with you. He did kind of... he shat himself a wee bit.
Yeah.
But then he's clearly not good enough to play with Celtic then. You know?
No, but you need, but with young players, you need to give them time. That's my point.
Of course.
That's my point. Don't get on their back so quickly.
But no, but he did get time and he didn't get really any better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Kieran Tierney, when he first came in at the Celtic team, made a few mistakes as well. But then they could see that, you know, he had the mentality to shake that off and not let it bother him, whereas I think with Jack Hendry, it kind of did. Now, Jack Henry's gone on to have a really good career.
Yeah.
And he's obviously back in the Scotland squad and stuff as well, and has been good for Scotland. I like him.
Yes, so do I. He's a great player.
So, you know, he's not had a terrible career as a result, but he maybe just didn't have what it takes to play with Celtic week in, week out, where the demands are really high. So,
but there is no excuse for not giving young players an opportunity when you're at a club like Celtic or Rangers for that matter, and you are better than most of the time. Mm-hmm. And when you're at home, or if you're in a Scottish Cup tie against Morton, for example, like what Liverpool do, like what Man City do, like what Arsenal do, they'll throw the young boys in to give them that experience. They don't do it at Celtic or Rangers because the pressure is there to win trebles. The pressure is there to win doubles. There was a time a couple of years ago, Stephen, you might recall, we were doing the big Saturday football show and the lunchtime kickoff. It was Celtic versus Morton.
In the Scottish Cup.
In the Scottish Cup. It was like in the third round.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the first team of Celtic. It was the first team. And we were all sat there going, why are they not giving some young players an opportunity against Championship Morton, who were shite?
At home.
At home. At home. They just, it doesn't make any sense to me. And the reason, I think the only reason that every manager, they're scared to give youngsters an opportunity because of the pressures that are on them to win a treble or to stop Rangers from winning a cup or to stop Celtic from winning a cup. They have to go with their best 11 so as not to give them any opportunity of being shocked.
And listen, I get that. I do get that. But
I don't though. But no, I don't. When you look at the clubs down south, what matters to the clubs down south are leagues and doing well in Europe.
But there's no, like, it is a unique pressure. I do accept that, right? I do accept that there's a unique pressure here. But still, I'm not talking about big pressure matches. There's plenty matches that both Celtic and Rangers are at home where they'll just steamroll their teams.
I agree.
And I don't get it. Aberdeen have had actually quite a good history of bringing through their own players this season. That's obviously been slightly different, but it's still really disappointing. Like, I think it's really disappointing overall. It's not it's not a problem for these teams individually, because obviously they're, you know, Aberdeen and Celtic are still doing well, and Rangers will still finish, you know, top three. But it's a problem for Scottish football. That was the context in which we were talking about it last week. Ryan says, made the big mistake of taking Ewan's movie advice and watched Long Legs, one of the most non-scary, mind-numbingly boring films I've ever seen in my life. Truly tragic that I wasted an hour and a half of my life on it. The time Ewan told everyone about the feeling lukewarm bathwater gave him as it moved up his body was scarier. So he didn't agree with your last week 2024 movie of the year, Long Legs. I was going to watch it actually over the weekend. I didn't get around to it.
Please watch it. I would just like to remind Ryan that I did say this movie isn't for everybody. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. There is no middle ground. You clearly hated it, and I would suggest that you hated it is because you didn't understand it. If you don't understand the movie, I think you're going to hate it. You need to understand what's going on, concentrate on what's going on, and be aware of the hidden messages within the movie. So I think that Ryan clearly didn't concentrate on the movie, was clearly distracted at some point, whether it would be the toilet, go and make himself a cup of tea, or maybe picked up his mobile phone. For me, when you watch a movie, mobile phones are away. They're off, or they're up the stairs, or they're out of sight, out of mind. You have to concentrate on the movie. Long Legs is an outstanding film. But Ryan, I take your point. You didn't like it. Fair enough. But I think you'll find that most people will love the movie if you concentrate and you give it the time it deserves.
Corey Hardy says, Stephen Mill been raging about Falkirk doing so well makes my day. Another bitter Pars fan. That was obviously before the weekend, I think.
So he'll be a bit bitter today, will he not?
Corey, looking forward to hearing you this week, actually, hearing back from you. Don says, can you pull the camera away from Stephen's face? He looks like he's been interrogated by the cops. So I think it is a wee bit better this week. It is better this week, to be fair. Yeah, a wee bit. Yeah.
It just looks like you've got the spotlight on your face, and Give me the answer!
Craig Kelly
said... Where are they? Where are they?
Has to have been dumped slash rejected by a girl from Kilmarnock. His anti-Kilmarnock bias from the pitch to wanting Derek McInnes gone.
I've been accused of having an anti-West Lothian agenda, and now I've got an anti-Kilmarnock agenda. I don't have an anti-Kilmarnock agenda. I have a plastic pitch agenda, which I have never hid from on this podcast. Derek McInnes, I think, is a better manager than Kilmarnock, and I think that is true. That's my opinion, and I think that would be the opinion of most Scottish football fans, that he is better than Kilmarnock. What he's done for Kilmarnock is sensational, but that's as good as it's going to get with Kilmarnock under Derek McInnes, and he's a better manager than that club. That's all I'm saying.
Kay McLeod says, Ewan, I'm the IFAB expert here. What does IFAB mean again?
I forgot what it means.
Yeah, you did. What else have we got here? Stephen's watermelon story is right up there with the Grassing Bears classics. Riveting stuff. Keep up the good work. Great show as always, guys. That was me about just watch if you're going to Lidl how much watermelons actually cost, because I got stung with that.
It's per kilo, isn't it?
It's per kilo.
I bought... I've left it through. I meant to bring it through. I've left it in the office. I bought a massive tray of pineapple.
Right.
So, you know, you get the small cartons of pineapple. I bought the big tray. So the small carton of pineapple was £2.40. And then the longer tray was only £3.20. So for an extra 80 pence...
You got much more pineapple for your money.
I got much more pineapple for my money. And I also found as well, because it was a bigger tray, there was more pineapple juice. So it kept the pineapple really moist.
See,
and juicy.
I come and go with pineapple. Because you know that way sometimes when you get it, it goes that sort of fizzy way and it's like off.
No, but you have to eat it straight away.
I know.
As soon as you buy it. Once you've taken it out the fridge, you can't leave it sitting around.
I know.
So I bought it fresh this morning, and I do find that the bigger tray is better value for money, and it's also more moist, more juicier. So when you bite into the chunks of pineapple, they explode in your mouth, and that juice envelops the mouth. It covers the tongue, and it's lovely.
Excellent. 54 champions, who sounds like a cool guy. Celtic winning the Champions League against an excellent German side, and it's mentioned for a few seconds. There's more, but I'm going to take this comment bit by bit, okay?
Who's it aimed at?
Me.
You? Okay.
Yeah, Celtic winning the Champions League against an excellent German side, and it's mentioned for a few seconds. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with days of the week, right? 54 champions. Now, we record this on a Monday morning, so by the time Celtic had beaten RB Leipzig, which we both said...
Which was Tuesday the day before, week before.
Was 6 days previously. Now, I'm flattered that you want to hear our opinions on a Celtic result that was 6 days old by this stage, but we did say it was a cracking result, and they played really well and deserved to win against a really good side.
Mm-hmm.
What more
could we say? Because it's already done.
I think it's already done. And everything's been said. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, flattered.
That we were tweeting about it during the week and everything.
Precisely. Yeah. Then the comment goes on. Then Stephen, brackets, not with the PH spelling. I'll come back to that in a second. Criticises Celtic, our Scottish champions, for not playing under 21 players. Now, what you've done there is you've connected two different things. The fact that Celtic are Scottish champions and the fact that they're not playing under 21 players are two completely separate matters. And, you know, I've already spoken about the under 21 players. We've both spoken about the under 21 players. He says they are not good enough for our team, which is quite the sweeping statement. Keep up the jealousy and the hatred, Stephen.
Where was the hatred in what you said last week?
I'm unsure with that, but I'll go back to the bit in the brackets, not the PH spelling. Now, obviously, I spell my name with a V.
Well, your mum and dad did.
Well, my mum and dad did, yes. And obviously, the insinuation there is obviously that I'm a Protestant and therefore support Rangers.
Yeah.
Neither of which, by the way, are true. I'm not a Protestant and I do not support Rangers. But I think, like, 54 champions here, you know, there's... Unfortunately, there is quite a lot of people like him who I'd describe as a waste of right? And I just think that you give good Celtic supporters a bad name, because the fact I spell my name with a V, and you've obviously, you know, the wee mask of bigotry has just slipped there. And I think that really sums you up as being
Right, you said it.
Really thick.
Right.
So thanks for your comment. And by the way, I think there's also a general. I got another hilarious comment last week. It was on my Instagram. It was a guy called Ewan. And
was it me?
It wasn't me. And he was basically digging me up for being bitter about Falkirk, right?
Right.
So I just replied in a very civil manner, "Hey, Ewan, thanks for the comment. Thanks for listening to the podcast." Unlike 54 Champions, who's clearly an absolute loser of a person, Ewan actually sort of put his face to it in his name.
All right.
And I replied, and I was like, "Hey, Ewan, listen, I'll always take on comments and I'll take on criticism.
Will do.
That's totally fine." So I just said, I was like, "Hey, Ewan, how you doing? Thanks for your comment. Thanks for listening. Listen, my stuff about Falkirk is very much tongue-in-cheek to wind-up producer John. That's the sort of what we do on this podcast.
It's like what we do with Hibs fans.
Exactly.
Do with Rangers and Celtic.
100%.
Yeah.
So I said, I explained that, and I was like, plus, I'm a Dunfermline fan. I obviously don't want Falkirk to do well.
Correct.
In the same way that Falkirk don't want to do Dunfermline to do well.
Correct.
Exactly.
We know what you think, producer John.
Exactly. And that's the pettiness of football fans. Mm-hmm. And then he also left a wee comment saying, as a pundit, in an inverted commas,
which we're not,
you should take off your blinkered specs or whatever it was and call it fairly. And I'm like, well, a couple of things. We've never described ourselves as pundits.
We're not.
We are fans, just like everyone else. We are allowed to be biased.
Yeah.
We are allowed to be unfair.
Yeah. We're just who we are.
Exactly.
If you met us in a pub, this is the conversations we'd be having.
Exactly. And that's been the whole point of this podcast for 110 episodes.
It's to be who we are.
So I put a really nice response and I was like, listen, thanks again for your comment. Thanks for listening. All the best. And then he blocked me.
Did he block you? Actually blocked you?
Yeah. So I was like,
petty is that?
So there we go. So listen, I think there's a slightly common misconception here. That this is serious. It's not serious.
Anyone who listens to the show knows it's not serious. We have our serious debates and we fall out, we argue, and we have opinions, we don't agree, we do agree. And that's what happens. The way I look at this podcast, it's a bit like meeting your pals in the pub.
Yeah.
And you sit down and you're chatting away about football and then you'll go off on a tangent and talk about a movie or you'll talk about the weekend or whatever it might be. And then you come back to the central theme, which is football, because that's something you'll have in common. That's what we do here without the beer.
Yes, exactly. Well, sometimes. In terms of like the other stuff as well, you know, you get accused of being anti-Kilmarnock, anti-Living, anti-everything.
Aye.
Anti-Celtic, anti-Rangers.
Everything.
I've had so many Rangers fans hammer me on social media.
Yeah, they think you're a Celtic fan.
They think I'm a Celtic fan. I'm not. And now 54 Champions, obviously, a very thick person. you know, and the reason
you need to let it go,
and
need to let it go now.
But the reason I'm digging it up is like, in all the time that I've been slaughtered by Rangers fans, there's never been any suggestion of any sort of bigotry
or religion. Aye.
And I think that, you know, 54 Champions, you've let yourself down there, to be honest.
And
with
you know what? He's very much in the minority.
100%, of course, aye, he is.
There are tens of thousands of Celtic fans that are not like that.
So, yeah, not every fan is as much a loser as you are. Right,
talking of that, actually.
What's that?
You just reminded me how I get this about Rangers and Celtic this and anti-West Lothian. See, when we leave here today, I want to show you something. I've not scrubbed it off for a reason, because I wanted to show you. I should have taken a picture of my phone.
Did somebody write something on your car?
Somebody's written something on my car.
Amazing.
Under my license plate.
Great.
In the dark, because it's that time of year where your car gets really dark and I've got a white car.
Amazing.
Jambo Bear, you fud. Jambo Bear, you
that
fud.
That is amazing.
And the reason I think that they knew it was my car, either they saw me getting out of the car and then they took their opportunity. But unfortunately for me, my kids 3 years ago bought me a personalised number plate. Uh-huh. And it more or less says, "You Cam." Yeah. You and Cam. So it's that. And there's Jambo Bear, you fud, underneath.
That's
it.
That's amazing.
I only noticed it this morning when I came into work. So I meant to take a picture of it, but I will, and I'll put it on Twitter later. But somebody out there is having a right good
John,
laugh at me driving
I'm
around
sorry
with that.
About that, Ewan.
I was going to say, John, have you been round Yeah. You've been round Ewan's house again.
Yeah. So what a day, blocked by Stephen under my burner on Twitter, Ewan, and then you've been foiled again.
Do you know what was weird about it? He was a Celtic fan as well. The guy even said he was like, I'm a Celtic fan. So he's like, you should be more neutral. I don't need to be neutral when I'm talking about Falkirk.
But listen to this podcast. You should know that we're not pundits. We have never, in all the years I've worked in football, and I'm talking from 2002 when I came back to Scotland, and I was hired to come work at Real Radio for the Football Forum with Alan Ruff. And people used to describe me as a pundit.
The Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
I have always told anybody, whoever asked a question or whoever was listening, or if they made that accusation about me being a football pundit, you need a bit more down the middle, a bit more professional. I have never been a football pundit. That's Chris Boyd. He's a pundit. James McFadden's a pundit. Michael Stewart's a pundit. I'm a guy who loves football and has the, and I'm lucky and fortunate to have worked in football for many years and to work in radio and get to meet and interview managers and players over the years. But that's all I am. I'm a lucky guy and a lucky football fan who gets to do a podcast with a guy that I like from time to time.
From time to time.
And a producer who's a fucking pain in the arse.
He is, yeah.
But I do love the banter and I love the chat and I love the feedback that we get. But see, when you do get stuff like that, it is irritating and it is annoying because I hate when people try and put two and two together like as if we're covering something up, we're hiding from who we truly are. We both wear our heart on our sleeve. We both tell you what we think. I've never hidden the fact of where I grew up, where I live, what I do, what team I support. And yes, over the years, I have defended Rangers, but also over the years, I've defended Celtic.
But there's also the thing as well, like, it's okay. Like, if you disagree with us, that's fine.
I love it.
That's the whole point.
I love it when you disagree because that's what football's about. It's about opinions and falling, not falling out, but disagreeing
but
and agreeing and
just
arguing.
Don't be stupid.
Stupid with it. Agreed. 100%.
Right. Let's move on to the weekend then. And Friday night, it was Scotland 1, Croatia 0. So obviously, first win in 10 competitive matches and it was good to get it. We spoke about this on the Big Saturday Football Show and, you know, I think we both kind of agreed that we've played better in this group and lost.
Mm-hmm. We were good in the second half.
Second half, we played very well. Obviously, we're playing against 10 men. That completely changes the game. But it's mental. Our record against Croatia is excellent. Like, it's excellent against Croatia.
What's the stats?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think we've only the first time they ever beat us was at the Euros a couple of years ago at Hampden. That was the first time Croatia had ever beaten us.
That game then?
Like, I remember under Strachan, we beat them home and away.
See if producer John was actually good at his job.
He did actually put that there. But yeah, our record against Croatia is amazing. And it was great to get the goal. And I actually thought Clark got his team selection, first of all, spot on. I think he's got his subs spot on. I know you've got a slight different opinion, but you can get to that in a wee second. I thought he got his subs bang on, and I was speaking to somebody at halftime, and they were like, you know, or sorry, before the game, and I was like, you know, it's a big call to start Ben Doak. I thought he might have just brought McGinn
straight back in
because he's John McGinn. But he went with Doak, and even when he made the substitutions, I thought Gold made a difference when he came
he's
on.
He's good.
And then obviously McGinn came on as well, and he clearly made a difference because he got the goal. But I think that he got the big calls right, Steve Clark, and we deserved to win on the second half performance. I think Croatia, don't get me wrong, there was a point in the first half I turned around to the person I was sat to and I was like, they're so much better at football than us. Like, you know, they were just completely controlling the game.
Modric 39.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is with Modric as well, he's 39 years old, but he's still all over the pitch.
Aye.
Like, he's still got a great engine. And I was like, they are just much better than us. And yep, the sending off totally changed the game. It took us to put the 86th minute to get the goal, but who cares? We got it in the end. We got the win. And I think for us to be going into the final game tonight against Poland with a chance of still getting
second
is great. And you said there were signs of progress earlier on in this group.
Yeah.
And I think we're now beginning to see that progress actually come out on the pitch.
Everything you said, I agree with 100%. There's only one wee mistake that Clark made. Wasn't the starting 11. It wasn't the substitutes. It was the fact that he gave Anthony Ralston the 90 minutes. Up until that point, we praised Ralston after the game against Portugal 0-0. We praised him against Croatia. We praised him away from home as well against Portugal. Anthony Ralston has not put a foot wrong for Scotland. He's been superb in that back four.
Since the Euros.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Since the Euros, when he was in a back five, when he looked like a fish out of water. But once we've gone back to the back four, which he's more used to when he's plays for Celtic, then he's been outstanding for Scotland. And we've praised him over the last couple of games. What I thought that Clark got wrong on Friday night was that for me in about the 65th, 70th minute, I thought that Ralston looked mentally and physically fatigued. And I think a lot would be because he's not playing week to week. And he was starting to make the odd mistake and they were getting a bit of joy down that side, even with 10 men. Simple passages, putting out the park, etc.
I think in the grand scheme of things...
I would have brought Devlin on at that point.
I think in the grand scheme of things, if that's what you've got to complain about...
That's my point.
Fine.
That's my point.
Totally, yeah,
and
yeah.
I would probably go with Devlin tonight because I think he deserves his opportunity. But there again, it would be a tough call because Ralston, again, has been superb for Scotland. So he's got a tough one to call tonight. And there are rumours flying around that Ben Doak won't start.
So I watched his press conference last night. He didn't really say, like, the papers have kind of taken this and run with it a wee bit. All he was saying was, it's two really big matches and he needs to see who's ready to go this morning.
Yeah.
So he was like, he says, I haven't named the team yet. They don't know the team yet. I've not decided the team yet. I'm going to wait till tomorrow morning to see how everyone is. Then I'll make a call. I think even if Ben Doak doesn't start, he'll still have a big role to play.
That's my point. I actually, and I'm going to say it now before it happens, so it's not like, oh, after the event. I actually wouldn't mind him not starting Doak.
Because he would have a bigger impact coming on as sub.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those games where we're going to be keeping an eye on what's going on in Croatia versus Portugal. And if Portugal win it 2 or 3-0, let's just say they do, we only need one goal to win it. And then to finish second.
Yeah.
Right? That's the mathematics around it.
Yeah, I've got that in a wee minute.
Yeah. So I don't mind Ben Doak not starting tonight and maybe going with John McGinn. A bit more solid. And he's still that goal threat. And then Ben Doak, 55, 60 minutes, bring him on, have him run at their defenders when he's fresh and they're a bit more tired. I don't mind that.
Yeah. So, I also think I wouldn't mind seeing Ryan Gold start tonight as well.
I'd like to see him start ahead of Christie because I don't think Christie is that wide player that we play him for Scotland because seeing as he's at Bournemouth, he plays as a number six or a number eight and he's really good for Bournemouth in that position.
Interesting. Obviously, Kenny McLean came off the other night. He had a kind of quieter game.
Oh, they could put Christie there.
They could put Christie in alongside Gilmore and then that might...
Gold in there.
Yeah, because, you couldn't really drop McLean after his last few performances because he's played so well. He didn't do anything wrong on Friday night, I don't think.
No.
But I think that maybe that's an option for him also.
That's not bad. Shoot Christie in there and then Gold on the left.
I suspect that Dykes will play up front as well because Conway didn't really get into the game. Not necessarily his fault. Didn't really get into it at all. And I think that he'll want Dykes for set pieces. He'll want Dykes for both ends of the pitch. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dyke starts tonight.
I like the idea of Gold on the left. You just put that in my head. I really like the idea of that because he is a creator. He's great whipping in across. He did that the other night.
He's great for set pieces.
Great for set pieces as well. And if it's Doak or McGinn on the other side, then yeah, we've got half a chance tonight.
I think McKenna probably starts in front of Hanley
I like McKenna. He's got a bit of pace about him as well. I do like McKenna.
Hanley, obviously.
And I think he's also better with the ball at his feet than Hanley is.
Yeah, but I think he's also good in the air as well.
Yeah, he's strong.
So, Suter
was getting a hard time of it not that long ago, putting on the Scotland jersey. But for me, he's been a standout with Ralston and with Doak.
Yeah, I think Suter
and Kenny McLean.
I think Suter's kind of got that jersey for himself now. I think I thought he was excellent the other night.
And fingers crossed and touching wood that he's escaped those injuries because I think that was hampering his career. But now that he's got a run of games at Rangers and he's getting a run of games at Scotland, we're now seeing the player that we all thought he was going to be.
Yeah, great. I thought he was brilliant the other night as well. So, yeah, lots of good performances. Was it a second yellow card? I haven't really seen it back. I've only seen it on a wee screen in the pub afterwards.
See, if that was Scott McTominay, I'd be upset with that second yellow.
Is it because he sort of came in a wee bit high?
Wee bit high. I get it, but I still think it's a bit harsh for a sending off.
Fair enough. Right, okay, so here's what we need to finish second. We need to either win by two or more goals and Croatia lose by two or more goals. It'll also work if we win by one and Croatia lose by one. And that'll mean that we'll go into a two-legged quarter-final versus a League A group winner, who aren't Portugal, obviously, because they're in our group. A reminder, we'd be in pot one for the World Cup qualifying draw, which takes place on Friday the 13th of December.
So if
and the campaign would start in either June or September of next year. If we... the draw for the Nations League draw is later on this week. And they would take place in March and in June.
So what you're saying then is if Scotland finish second in the group, if we get the result that we need and Portugal do us a favour and we finish second, we are top seed in the World Cup qualifiers.
Yes.
And we're into the quarterfinals of the Nations League in Group A.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It means there's a lot riding on that game tonight.
Even if we win and Croatia get a draw or win, then obviously we'll finish third. That means we will go into a two-legged relegation playoff versus a League B runner-up. So that could be, like, say, Greece or something like that.
From England's group, yeah.
But yeah, like any one of those.
Yeah.
It would mean we were in pot three for the World Cup qualifying draw.
Would that be confirmed if we finished second, third in the group?
No. So we'd be in pot two if one of Czech Republic, Slovakia or Romania don't win or Greece or Norway lose. So there's still a bit, we could still be in pot two.
But loads of other things need to happen.
If we finish fourth, we're automatically relegated to League B and we will be in pot three.
That would be confirmed if we finish fourth. Okay.
Yes. So if we finish fourth, that's what happens. So there's a lot riding on the win.
I can't wait for the game tonight. I think it should be good.
And that's Scotland's coefficient. I got that from on Twitter, who is very, very good. So give them a follow.
Please give Scotland coefficient a follow. That is one of the best Twitter pages on Twitter. I'm still calling it Twitter. It's not X. It'll always be Twitter. But Scotland's coefficient, the guy, whoever that is, do you know the guy's name? Do you know who he is?
Is he not called Gavin?
Producer John, who is the boy that's by Scotland's coefficient?
Do you not know who he is?
I know his name, but I'll find out for you.
But who is he?
He's just a guy who knows stuff.
Is he involved in football in any way, or is he just a guy that just like us, just a normal guy?
Loves stats.
It's Gavin.
Yeah. And I don't know who he is. I've never met him.
But listen, Gavin, Scotland coefficient on X, on Twitter, whatever you call it. Outstanding page. I love that page.
Here's the page of 2024.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the championship then, and the game of the day in Scotland was Livingston versus Falkirk.
Oh, wait. Listen.
Where is John? Is he coming?
Do we hear Amarillo? Do you hear a distant sound of Amarillo?
Wait,
is the door opening?
No, I don't see him. I don't see John.
Is there any?
Yeah. No. Oh, maybe that's because Livingston won 1-0.
Oh, right.
That's probably what it is. That's what it is. So finally, fortunate Falkirk coming unstuck against the Livy Lions, of course. A well-deserved victory. There was really no doubt about it. It could have been 4 or 5 looking by the highlights.
Shut up, Stephen. Really, that is a ridiculous take. I can't believe I've been fished in here with just one little comment.
That was far too easy, John. You need to improve. You really need to improve there. So Livingston obviously completely outplayed you for most of the game.
No, they didn't.
And I mean, how many shots in goal did Falkirk have? Did they pepper the goal?
No, I think there was about two shots.
There wasn't
much. It was a terrible, ugly game of football. We got dragged down into Livingston's level.
You got dragged down to Livingston?
Yes.
Well, to be fair, as your manager said, you're sort of like pushing for top six level in the Premiership.
No,
so.
he said that was all ifs, buts and maybes. Anyway, the one moment of quality was who I feared it would be from. Big Tetty Yenge, 6'5", playing down the left wing. And it was
his height got to do with it?
It was a great strike. Tetty Yenge.
Good player. He's a good player. I like him.
What's his height got to do with it?
Nothing.
No, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to imply that Livingston are just a team of hammer throwers.
They are.
Back to front.
They absolutely are. But no, it was a brilliant moment of quality from him. And it was the only great thing that was going to separate the two teams in the game. It was a really ugly game of football. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Because you got beat. You're so bitter, John, honestly.
Absolutely,
you're so bitter.
No bitterness. Fair enough to Livingston. They played their game well.
So I know we were sort of talking about John McGlynn and everything earlier on in the podcast.
Yeah.
Genuinely, what was he thinking?
Do you know what? there's very few times that I agree with you two, but I was just like, what are you doing, mate? What, John, what are you saying here?
It was like, you know, obviously we were being slightly, you know, harsh on him a wee bit earlier on. He was saying, like, you know, it's one game at a time, there's a long way to go.
You need to dream and you need to look up, you know.
But also, why are you even getting dragged into that?
I don't know.
Why are you getting... I mean, John McGlynn's a really experienced manager. Yeah. He's experienced bottling titles before. So... Oh, loads of titles. So, like, you know, he should know by now not to get dragged into this. And I just think it's really a really silly thing to come out and say, because obviously David Martindale was going to be saying to his players, and I think you saw that in the reaction from the Livy players at full time.
Yeah.
You know.
Aye, we're here.
You saw the reaction because they were back to 3 points.
No, but I
know, but I think, like, yeah, there was definitely an element. David Martindale would have been in their ears saying, they think they've won the league if they've won the day. Because John McGlynn's comments, he was basically saying that. He said, if we win on Saturday,
we've won the league.
You know, the rest of the championship. That. No, he more did, or less.
But see if I'm David Martindale, right? I have got the iPad and I've got the wire connected to the iPad into the big telly in the changing rooms.
You could probably put it on screen mirror. You probably wouldn't need a wire.
Or it was screen mirror it then, if you've got that technology, fantastic. And I would have put the screen mirror up onto the big screen in the change room, and I'd have showed them that interview before. Wow. And that would have been the team talk, just what John McGlynn was saying. We went on Saturday, we've won the league.
Don't you agree it was a really stupid thing to do, John?
I don't think it was wise. But it was all if buts, if you watch the full thing, it's all we can dream and all this sort of stuff. Listen, Falkirk are in a great position. We've just come up from League One. We just played the team that have come down from the Premiership. We're 3 points clear. I did not think when we came up we'd be in this position. You know, no season, we've said it before, is no leagues won in November.
But
we've
John,
a long,
but John,
long way to go,
but John,
this.
But John McGlynn was basically saying, if we win on Saturday, no, he won't. He didn't say it put us in a very good position. He said that the rest of the championship would have to catch us.
Aye,
which is true.
If we went 9 points clear on Sunday, John, the rest of the championship would have to catch us, apart from Dunfermline, who are miles off.
John,
well done your victory on
John Saturday. We'll get to Dunfermline in just a second, but John, getting back to the big game of the day, mm-hmm, top two in the championship, you saying, this was your quote just 10 seconds ago, was, I didn't expect to be in this position.
Yeah.
But now that you're there, mm-hmm, if you go and lose this league, you'll be disappointed.
No, I won't be.
I will not be disappointed
right, because
I'll tell you
come
why.
From League One.
No,
I
John,
said
shut
we are budgeted
John,
for fifth.
John, you'll be green, man. You'll be taking a week off to recover.
You can go back and listen to my own podcast, Falkirk Daft, for anyone that wants to listen. You will hear my prediction for the start of the season. I say if we get mid-table, that's a good season.
Right,
that's
what I'm
really
saying, John.
Season.
We all say
even
that.
Even if we miss out
John,
in the playoff, it's
John,
a good season.
John, what I'm saying is, now that you're in the position you found yourselves in, I said on Saturday during the big Saturday football show that I think that this could be the moment in the Championship League title race where you look back and go, that was the day, that was the week that we lost the league. When we went to Livingston, we played like a bag of shite and we lost by a goal to nil.
Livingston will drop more points than us.
There is always...
Livingston will drop more points
there is
than
is always,
us. So wait a minute. So Livingston will drop more points than you. So yeah, you do think Falkirk are going to win the league then?
No.
Livingston will drop more points than you.
Partick Thistle are starting to motor as well.
Partick Thistle are Ayr 9 points behind you.
Ayr have got a good result. At the weekend.
Right, okay,
fine. John, do you think... five people that are involved in this, and
do you think... But you're ruling out Livingston.
No, you are ruling out Livingston. They will drop more points. They will draw more games than we will.
Well, therefore, you're ruling them out.
I'm not ruling them out.
Well, you're three points ahead of them, so of course you're ruling them out.
You've also forgotten, John, you've lost more games than Livingston. They've only lost one. You've lost a couple.
We've won more though, Ewan. That's how leagues work.
So, John, wait there now. You are ruling out Livingston because you said they'll drop more points than Falkirk. If they drop more points than Falkirk, then they'll finish behind you because the gap is currently 3 points. So Livingston are out of the equation.
No.
Are Ayr United going to drop more points than Falkirk?
I'm not getting involved in that.
No,
you've caught them out.
Are Ayr United going to drop more points than Falkirk?
A bit like John McGlynn,
He just got ahead of himself.
I've just said to you, though, I really think at any point we will go on and win the league.
You just said that Livingston will drop more points than you.
You've done a John McGlynn.
And you're already 3 points ahead of them. So if they drop more points than them, you'll finish above them and win the league.
Yeah, that's what you think. You said that.
Unless you're saying that you think Partick Thistle won't drop as many points as Falkirk.
I'm not getting involved in this.
He's been caught out.
Yeah.
He's been caught out. He thinks
he's going to win the league. He's already got his Falkirk Daft t-shirts printed with champions on
the
back.
They were talking about that last week, actually. I saw Ross from your podcast talking about getting t-shirts printed and all that.
Oh, he's nonsense.
Jamie Swinney as well.
He was all getting involved.
Jamie Swinney, chief executive. Oh, we'll be fine when we go up to the Premiership. We'll be ready to go.
You'll maybe get that fourth stand one day, John. Right, elsewhere, Ayr United just about hanging on against Queen's Park on Saturday. 3-2 it finished. They were 3-0 up. A much needed win for Scott Brown that after losing East Kilbride last week and obviously not winning any of their previous two. In fact, only winning one of their previous five in the league. So that brings them 4 points behind Livingston, 7 behind Falkirk. As you mentioned, Partick Thistle 5-1 winners against Hamilton on Saturday. That's them up into the playoffs above Queen's Park. And they are 9 points behind Falkirk, only 3 behind Ayr.
I would not rule out Partick Thistle putting in a charge for the title.
They're on a very good run.
They're on a really good run, and they're starting to motor after a really slow start. Keep an eye on them.
I did predict Partick Thistle for winning the league.
Who did I go with? I went for Raith or Partick as well. Yeah. But I did say Falkirk would be top four.
But obviously that's Livingston out of it, according to John. So it's not going to be them. So there we are. Elsewhere, Raith Rovers losing by 3-2 at home. Things not good at Starts Park. They came back from 2-2 to draw 2-2. And then Morton score in injury time and take all 3 points back along the road.
Who's the manager there at Raith again?
It is Neil Collins.
Well, he's done a shit job as well.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I mean, they're still in front of Dunfermline. But we did beat Airdrie by a 0-0 on Saturday.
That's a big win.
A huge win. And in the interest of fairness, Airdrie should have had a penalty. It was a penalty.
I haven't seen it. Was it? Was there a penalty decision?
Hamilton making a challenge when one of their boys was right through. He was brought down in the box. I don't know how the referee hasn't given it.
If VAR was there, would it have been given?
100%.
And what was the score at the time?
1-0 to us. So
it would have been a draw.
Yeah, I
think so. Was it late on?
I think so. Obviously, I wasn't at the game. I was working. So, but I've watched the highlights, and for me, it
was a penalty.
Airdrie should have had a penalty, and that just brings me back to the point. Sometimes you need good fortune to win games, like Falkirk have had so far this season, apart from Saturday, obviously. So sometimes you need a wee break.
Fortunate Dunfermline now.
I think we're fortunate that we didn't concede a penalty on Saturday.
Fortunate.
Absolutely,
you got a win on Saturday. Some would say as well.
But if it works for us, it works for you as well, John. So, I mean, thanks for agreeing. Thanks for agreeing with me that Falkirk have been fortunate.
Sometimes your fortune can be out of fortune.
I think Airdrie are bottom of the table, completely out of fortune, because they should have had a penalty on Saturday. Yeah. They're now 7 points adrift at the bottom of the table.
Not looking good
for Airdrie at all.
You mentioned Scott Brown there. Can I say something? Is it the Black Knights?
Black Knights.
The Black Knights are now trying to get ownership of the club.
Mm-hmm.
They are waiting for some feedback from the SFA. There must be some ruling.
Yeah, because they own Bournemouth and a few other teams.
And they will eventually, and they are hoping to get complete ownership or majority ownership of the club, and then Grey will be gone.
Okay. So there you are, Hibs fans. Exclusive for you from you and Cameron.
I heard that on Thursday. People in football.
There we go. Falkirk still top of the championship.
Can I just as a caveat to that, it might not be true, but there is no smoke without fire.
Well, sometimes there is.
There is no smoke. I think it's gone on record that the Gordons and the Black Knights, they don't get on.
Well, oh no, absolutely not. I don't think.
And also, remember what you said last week?
No.
So they wanted rid of Gray. You said last week, if they get rid of Gray, what did you say they'd put in place?
Malky Mackay.
That was the plan.
Okay.
And that's why the guard's like, no chance of that happening.
Okay. I'm just saying, sometimes there's smoke without fire.
But, yeah, if you burn toast, there's no fire, but there is smoke.
There is smoke. That's a good point, John, actually.
What else can What else?
I'll have a think about that. I just wanted to say, in terms of Dunfermline, hearing wee bits over the weekend about takeovers. I know there was an article, I think, in the Daily Record, which I was told was not entirely accurate.
What have you heard?
I haven't heard otherwise, but I was told that the article in the Record was not entirely accurate. In fact, a lot of it wasn't accurate at all. So there are, I think, three or four really interested parties. I would expect in the next 7 days or so to hear from the club officially that...
Before the next round of games?
Probably something is happening. Yeah. I mean, I think there are Americans interested. Obviously, you know, they want to invest in a big club like Dunfermline. Make Athletic great again, obviously. was going round the other night. But yeah, I think something will be happening in the next few days in terms of a statement, and it's quite close to being not quite completed.
I know that John will not agree with this, but it's a big club. It's a big club with big potential. Good catchment area, good fan base.
I mean, even on Saturday, we still had, I think the crowd was something like 4,600 or something like that. I think considering we are shite.
Yeah, that's my point.
You know, it's there is potential there. So, I think Dunfermline fans, I think, probably expect something in terms of a statement over the next few days. Fingers crossed, it might change. But the article in the Daily Record was not entirely accurate, is what I've been told.
Okay.
So, there we are. That's Championship for you. Let's move on to League One, and it's just the 2 points separating the top five clubs in the division after 14 games. So, it's Kelty Hearts who are on top this week after they went to Annan and won by 2-0. Scott Allen, Super Scoreboard Scott Allen, back fit and playing as well, which is good.
Makes a difference.
Absolutely makes a difference for Kelty. So they are top of the shop alongside Arbroath, who came from a goal down to beat Cove Rangers at home. So again, Arbroath unbeaten in the last four matches as well, only lost one of their last six, on a wee decent run there. Alloa, though, who had been going well, they lost on Saturday to Inverness, who are now up to 4 points, only 10 points, in fact only 11 points away from complete safety now. Stenny beat Montrose. Montrose, who were top of the league a few weeks ago, are having a bit of a nightmare now. And Queen of the South, who were up around the top of the table, they got beat as well by Dumbarton by 2-1. So it's just the most mental league in Scotland at the moment. So you've got Kelty Hearts and Arbroath on 22 points, Alloa and Stenny on 21, Cove on 20, Queen of the South on 18, and Montrose are on 17, in seventh place. So yeah, just an absolutely wild league. And Inverness racking up the points as well. League Two, Clyde beating East Fife by 3-1. East Fife having quite the wobble, no wins in their last few matches, after a cracking start to the season under Dick Campbell. They're now 3 points behind league leaders Elgin City, who beat Forfar by 2-1 on Saturday. Peterhead lost at home to Edinburgh City as well, so they're second now. Spartans beating Stirling Albion 3-0. And Bonnyrigg clawing back some of their deducted 6 points. They got deducted 6 points last week for a licence breach. They beat Stranraer by 2-1. So, I mean, Bonnyrigg are now on 14 points. They're 5 points above Forfar, who are bottom. And obviously, Ray McKinnon got punted last week as well. So, interesting times in League Two. Right, this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
See, before you go on,
yep.
Danny Mills there on screen.
Yeah,
former England international, played with Leeds. He's on Sky Sports News just now.
Was England's right back at the 2002 World Cup?
He was indeed. And he sat in his house, and behind them are his England caps and some memorabilia. And that just reminded me of something I want to recommend to you.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus, exclusive to Disney Plus.
You've heard your recommendation.
No, but it's a football thing.
No, but you can wait for next week.
No. It's not one of those ones I'm going to go, it's a must watch. It's not really good.
It's not a must watch of 2020.
No.
Four.
No. It's on Disney Plus. It was exclusive to them. They had behind the scenes, behind cameras and all that for the Wagatha Christie trial.
Oh, yeah.
It was Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy.
And she's just gone into the jungle.
But it's three episodes, and it's cameras in their house.
And Danny Mills, isn't it?
No. Where he's sitting he's sitting in his room where he's got all his memorabilia, and in the documentary, Colleen takes the camera crew into Wayne's...
Into Colleen's memorabilia room.
No, into when Wayne's memorabilia room.
The face of George
And it Dazda. Shows you all the Champions League trophies, the caps, the jerseys, and you forget just how successful Wayne Rooney was. The stuff he won was phenomenal. Golden right. boots and league titles and FA Cups and... Champions Leagues, just phenomenal. But it's a really good documentary about Agatha Christie, and it also takes you behind the scenes in the court case, speaks to all the lawyers, shows you all the WhatsApp messages between Rebecca Vardy and her PR people and Colleen, and it's brilliant. It's really good.
Overrated, underrated. Okay, so last week it was watermelons as a fruit. Okay, as a fruit.
Well, what else are we talking about?
So you
did you go to the shops this week? Did you shopping this week?
I've not been. Nah, I usually go on a Tuesday morning.
Did your wife Anna go to the shops this week?
No,
no. So at no point did you see a watermelon to tempt yourself to bring one home?
No, I did not.
No.
Random Falkirk fan: eating a watermelon on a cool summer's day is absolutely sexual. According to this,
it's what?
Absolutely sexual.
A watermelon on a cool
eating a watermelon on a cool summer's day is absolutely sexual. Dave says, don't know whether to say aye or no, as when does anyone rave about watermelon? Surely that would make it underrated then. If nobody's raving about it, it would be therefore underrated.
But is a watermelon underrated? Because whenever you ask for a fruit salad, it's always filled with watermelon. Whenever you go to a fruit salad buffet, you will find...
How many fruit salad buffets have you been to? Where are we getting fruit salad buffets? I think there's often a fruit section at a breakfast buffet.
No, there's a fruit salad buffet where there's chopped up fruit, right. And then you can get natural yogurt if you want. But what you do find is that there is a wide selection of melon. You only get one selection of an apple or a banana. I suppose there is only one of them, eh? Is a plantain a banana? Is that a banana?
I think it's part of the family.
It's part of the banana family.
Yeah.
But does it... Anyway, but what my point is...
Plantain is more sort of savoury as opposed to sweet, I would say.
Aye. Mm. My point is, when it comes to a watermelon, they're not just a... They're very much part and parcel of a fruit salad, and if it wasn't in your fruit salad, you would miss the watermelon.
I Love Fish Fingers says, watermelons are gumph.
Why are we talking about fish fingers?
My least favourite... That was the guy's name. My... Or the girl's name. My least favourite fruit, according to I Love Fish Fingers,
is a watermelon.
Stephen, I hate to say it, but if Falkirk win on Saturday, the title could be theirs.
They didn't know.
So that was great.
Aye.
Hopefully we can get the wheels in motion and stay in the championship. Next summer is massive for us.
Hopefully not.
Brackets for Fairman. So I'm not going to lower myself to your level, John.
Watermelon's underrated, overrated.
Right, okay, yes.
I think they're underrated.
Okay, well, I do have... I've got the answer, you're right here.
He didn't wait for the countdown and the word
no,
go.
No, John, the intonation of my voice there was suggesting that the drum roll should have came in very quickly.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, but then the last couple of weeks you said you need to wait for the count, so I'm a bit confused by it. I thought I would just go on your cue, but then I thought you'd get angry because you didn't do the
John,
count.
John, you need to...
Right,
I thought you'd know me by now.
Right,
but
yeah,
anyway,
sorry,
so,
mate,
right,
sorry,
okay,
right,
okay. So anyway, I do have the results. Three...
The intuition has changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so you're not trusting my intuition now, so you're going...
Well, no,
for the
I can't, because you're left a massive gap.
And the way he delivers it has changed, so you have to now wait for the countdown.
Right.
So I have the results. John.
I don't see it's too late. Have the results. That means it goes goal without
but then
the countdown.
You said about the countdown.
Because you didn't press it, so then I started the countdown.
Okay, right,
the
okay.
delivery. So it's a delivery.
Am I going on intonation or countdown?
Intuation.
Yeah.
Why did you say that, Ewan?
That word.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
So.
That's not.
No, that's not it. No. Right, sorry. That was actually my fault. So sorry. Right. The drum roll.
You didn't know what to say there.
No, exactly, because John's confused me now.
Yeah,
so maybe we should go on a countdown. Aye, let's go on a countdown, right? So
3-2-1 go.
3-2
No.
No, that too early, John.
Oh my god.
Far too early.
Jeez. Right. We just say we're going on a countdown and you just press the button, you're bucking a day.
3-2-1 go. No, go. It's 3-2-1 go.
Right, okay.
Right. 3-2-1 go. No, oh, no, John, that was John. Too early.
John!
Let me say go, then do it.
Let the O end.
Exactly. So I have the results. 3-2-1 go.
We heard the click. We heard the click of you pressing
the
button.
Every week.
It's about people. I want people to think that there's somebody sat there with a drum and playing the
exactly.
drum.
Exactly. Okay. Right.
So not you pressing a button.
Right. So I'll give the countdown again. Sake. And after the go, after the O of the go. Right.
Remember, and no clicking.
That's you know I've not got a drummer in here, Jimmy.
You're clicking. We can hear you pressing the button, you two.
John, go on the go.
Remember,
go on the go.
Go on the O of the go. Right.
Go on the O of the go, Jimmy.
After the O of the go.
Pull your fucking fader down.
Yeah, exactly. So remember the phrase.
I need to keep the fader up so you can hear Jimmy. Jimmy!
Remember this phrase.
Right.
After the O of the go.
You hear that? He's not got headphones on.
Right, okay.
Right. Jimmy!
Three.
On the O.
Right. Don't tell him.
Jimmy! On the O, then hit the drums.
3-2-1 go. 55% of people say that watermelons are overrated.
That's not good. They're wrong. They're wrong. That's a pish result. Watermelons, why are you clapping that? Watermelons aren't they overrated? Why are you clapping that?
I love watermelons.
Yeah, but they're saying it's overrated and you're clapping it.
Because that's what everyone gets a clap when they put their result in. That's what happens. They get a wee cheer.
Whether you think they're right or wrong, they get a cheer. Yeah. Well, I'm not cheering that because I think they're talking shite.
Okay, well, that's up to them.
Let me ask John. John, are watermelons overrated, underrated?
Overrated, I think.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I think there's a lot of hate for watermelons
There's no need for it. Especially when they're very useful in other departments.
So we've discussed this, what I'm going to nominate for overrated, underrated.
Have we?
Yes, we have discussed this.
When today?
No, previously. And I'm going to nominate the song Freed From Desire by Gala.
Yeah, overrated.
Overrated.
I'm fucking sick of that song.
It's too much.
Too much.
It's had its run.
100%.
It's had a good time.
Yeah.
But now...
Done.
It's done. It's overrated. Freed from Desire by Gala is overrated. It's become the... I mean, they were even using it at the Olympics.
In rugby.
Yeah.
They're using it at Murrayfield.
I know.
And
it makes you sick.
It makes me want to puke.
Yeah.
It makes me watching those people in their little kilts with their wee plastic cups of beer and their stupid hats with the horns on it. Fuck off.
You had a bad experience with the rugby fans on Saturday, didn't you?
In the train.
Yeah.
That's why. And then I see them doing their Freed From Desire and they're not really giving it they're kind of like being too polite and
So anyway, that's my nomination. You can get in touch obviously at Big Football Scott on YouTube as well. Give us a follow on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And remember you can watch Clyde One Super Scoreboard as well as listen now on YouTube every single night from 6 p.m.
I spent 30 minutes of my life in a train with Farquhar.
Yeah, and Crawford. People like that.
People we second names for first names.
Yeah.
Crawford and Farquhar and whatever else.
John, you got the rugby, don't you?
I thought you liked the rugby as well. Remember he went on that kind of tirade.
No, I didn't. It's not about tirade. When something big happens, I'm going to talk about it. Scotland do well in the World Cup or in the Six Nations. It's worth a wee mention, but I'm not a rugby fan as such. I can give a hoot what goes on in Glasgow and Edinburgh. Don't give a shit what happened in the Autumn Internationals. Did we even talk about it on Saturday? I think he gave the result at the end of the day, but we didn't fucking keep up to date with it. I'd forgot it was even on. Because Farquhar and the train fucking pissed me off.
And you can listen to us every single Saturday on the big Saturday football show.
Farquhar stood there with his glass of gin.
MFR and North Sound 1, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan joining us.
Arguing with Crawford about the what do you call it, what they do in the stocks and exchanges and all that. That's what, yeah.
Okay, let's try and make some progress today with this. time for the match footballer. So producer John has sourced another footballer. We have to guess who it is through a series of yes or no questions.
What do we know?
We know they aren't playing in the Premiership and it isn't a woman.
So that's all we know?
Yes, that's all we know.
And also another thing that we know is that John is over the moon with this one.
Yeah.
He was skipping and dancing about the studio when he...
Another John.
When he got this voice.
Another John saying this. Mass footballer, John McGinn.
John McGinn. Nah, it won't be John McGinn.
Question, has he ever played in the Champions League?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is. I don't think we've ever asked that before.
No, and I also think that this footballer is somebody quite big and famous.
Alan says the Masked Singer will be Scotty Arfield. He used to play with Falkirk, though. So I don't know if you'd be that basic. Storm X says the player is from Falkirk. 100% he is.
No, I don't think he will
Craig
be.
Says, due to John's excitement, I'd be asking if the Masked Singer was a Falkirk player.
No.
See, I think that's too obvious.
I don't think it's a Falkirk player. I think it's someone. I think...
Right, do you want to go with the Champions League question? I think that's a good question.
Before you get to that, who's on Super Scoreboard? Who's on there that would know footballers and be pals with big names?
Like...
So you could...
Andy Halliday.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Allen.
Scott Allen would know a good few players from the Celtic team and everything. Yeah. Just say, can you do me a favour?
Go and Mark get Wilson. Gordon DL.
Go and get me a voice note of somebody just saying aye or no.
Yeah.
Let's go. I like the Champions League because I genuinely think this is a proper big name because in the past, nothing against Sean Dillon, brilliant, but another boy was Scott Allen, fine. But I think we're talking up here at another level because he was so happy about it.
Okay, I'm ready for the question, which is this. Has our mass footballer ever played in the Champions League?
No.
Maybe it's not as big as I thought it was.
No. Which might lend itself to...
Can I just get a second question on that, please? Please, just give me a second question.
No.
It's a follow-up to what you just said. Have they played European football? Have they played European football of any kind?
Oh, yeah, we should have said that. That would have been better.
You're not getting a second question.
Oh, fuck off, John. So get your suggestions in on @BigFootballScott for the mass footballer. But it's time to cross live to Warsaw because we have our Polish correspondent for Scotland joining us on the line. It is the one and only from Greatest Hits Radio Breakfast. It is Kat Harvey. How are you doing?
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Ewan. I'm good. Yeah, I'm surprisingly good. I am in a kind of posh part of Warsaw, I would say. I'm in front of the Museum of Culture because basically everybody had to come to this area to pick up their tickets this morning, which was a little bit of a shambles to start with, but then it ended up okay. All 3,000 Scottish people here for the game didn't have their tickets because the Polish FA didn't send them out in time. So it was basically you had to turn up to the Novotel. I'll show you. It's just there.
Oh, aye.
Yep. Next H&M.
So that's where everyone had to pick up their tickets this morning. So it was a little bit chaotic, but I've got my ticket now, so good to go.
It looks lovely. It looks like a really nice city. I mean, is it Baltic, though?
Well, that's Gdansk, isn't it? Baltic, a wee bit further up.
Very
but yes, no, it is. It's gorgeous. We'll all be heading to the old town later. And the stadium's, I think, about a 10-minute walk from there, so it's all quite handy. But yeah, it's freezing, though, Stephen. It's like... I think it's about 1 degree, but you know when it's got the wind chill, so it's cold. So a lot of beer and vodka requires to keep people warm today, I think.
Absolutely. Were you out last night? What was the atmosphere like? Was it decent?
Do you know what? It was actually a lot busier than I thought it would be. Yeah, it was good. Again, Sunday night in a European city, it really was only the Tartan Army that were out. So you can imagine that. Lots of songs, lots of singing. And I ended up bumping into my old pal, Jane Lewis, from BBC.
Lovely.
And ended up on a night out with her and Liam McLeod, the commentator, and Faddy, obviously James McFadden, Scotland legend. And we shamefully got knocked back from the karaoke.
They must have heard you in Germany. Word must have reached them.
They didn't let us in. And the funniest thing was, one of the guys that was with us went up to the bouncer and showed him Faddy's goal against France on YouTube channel. And then pointed at him and went, that was him that scored the goal. And the guy went, meh.
Probably didn't recognise him because Faddy has no hair now.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I know. He still didn't get in. He was raging. So yeah, but we found another little place, so we've done well.
Kat, it's a big night tonight for Scotland because we could end up finishing second in the group if other results go our way, etc., etc. What's the feeling amongst the Tartan Army? Are we expecting a positive result tonight?
Yeah, do you know what? Well, if every single person here is just saying we have to go out and go for it. Remember, like the Hungary game in the Euros, we knew we had to go for it and we didn't really.
Yeah.
So I think everybody just wants fire everything forward from the very, very start. Let's try and win this game by, because we do need a couple of goals as well. Can't just be a 1-0 win. We need a couple of goals. So push everybody forward, go for it. We might as well try and win. And the thing was, I was talking to folk that were at the Poland press conference last night, and apparently their team are all blaming each other for them not being very good at the moment. So that's quite good for us if there's a bit of disharmony there. And obviously, big news is Lewandowski's not playing. So tremendous news for Scotland.
Is that confirmed? Is he definitely out? Aye.
Apparently so. Yeah, apparently so. Well, and he is, of course, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean that is great news. And obviously they got absolutely battered by Portugal the other night as well. So
yeah.
Fingers crossed we can get to the line. There has been a bit of chat about Ben Doak maybe not starting. I don't know if you're hearing anything over there.
I've not heard that, Stephen. But I would say the Tartan Army would be very disappointed if he didn't start, because he obviously, well, not so much the first half, but the second half he caused chaos against Croatia. So I think Tartan Army would love to see him get a start. But as I said, number one priority, just be positive. Start from the very beginning and try and get all the goals, because that's what we need. Doesn't matter if we win 1-0, we need goals.
So, Kat, the game is a good few hours away. You've just picked up your ticket, so what's the plan for the rest of the day?
Well, I think I might go to a Chopin concert.
So much shite she talks.
I'll explain Chopin is in a minute, Ewan, that's fine.
I'll take a wee wander down to the old town. I think that's when everybody's going to be going. And as I said, there's loads of beautiful bars and restaurants and culture to be explored, Ewan. You know me, I love my culture.
You do. You love your museums when you're on these trips, don't you?
I do. But it's just great to see so many Tartan Army out here. And I said it at the Euros as well. Do you know what's really lovely for an old veteran like me is that the young team are coming through, you know, like girls and guys that are in their sort of teens and 20s are now following Scotland, which is the new breed of supporters. So that's really lovely to see.
Excellent. Excellent, Kat. Now, listen, we'll let you get on with your day. It looks absolutely stunning there in Warsaw. Be safe, enjoy the game, and we'll speak to you when you're home, all right?
And maybe this night we'll get into the karaoke.
Yes, fingers crossed. Right, cheers. There she goes. Kat Harvey live from Warsaw on the big Scottish football podcast. It did look, what a lovely
looks city. Lovely, doesn't it? Get on YouTube, have a look at it. It looked fantastic. It's a place I've never been.
You've never been to Poland?
No.
Or Warsaw?
I've just never been to Poland.
I've been to Gdansk and I've been to a place called Bydgoszcz in Poland, right?
A lot of people recommend Poland. You as well?
So I went to Bydgoszcz in 2012, right? And the reason me and my mates went to Bydgoszcz is because we got return flights with Ryanair for £16. So we were like, well, I mean, it can't be that bad. And then we got there and it was just like it was like any other sort of Eastern European city. Like, it had its sort of industrial bit. It actually had a big sort of, I think it's where a lot of American troops are based in Poland.
They have a lot of mix of old and new.
It was almost like a big military airport that we landed at. It was beautiful, but it was, I think it was a military airport. And then, like most other sort of European cities, it had a big square with like a big cathedral and all these bars round about it as well. And we went into this pub and I think there was five of us. So I was like, I just have like five beers, please. And then I can't remember how much it was in zloty, but I came back to the table and I was like, I just got five beers. And I was like, I think that cost us £3.
For five?
For five beers, right? And then about 5 minutes later, the barmaid comes over and she's like, I'm really sorry, that's happy hour over. And we're like, oh, it'll be a wee bit more expensive now. And then we went back up and it was £5 for five beers. So it was honestly, it was so good. It was such a nice wee place. And then one of my mates works with a Polish girl. And then a couple of months later, they were just chatting one day and he was like, oh, I went to Bydgoszcz. And she was like, why did you go to Bydgoszcz? And he was like, well, just explain the story that I did. And she was like, it would be like going on holiday to Livingston. Like, she was like, it's just...
Nobody goes.
It's Poland's eighth largest city, if you're interested. So there we are. There's Cat Harvey.
Gdansk in Poland. Would you recommend Poland as a country to visit?
Gdansk was really nice as well, but that was a bit more touristy. Yeah. Like, you know, that's a bigger city.
But it's so. a good place to go.
Great, yeah. Like, cheap beer, cheap drink, food's decent.
People nice.
People nice. Yeah, really good. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, there we are. There's my review of Poland. Been a couple of times. So there we are. Cat Harvey, live from Warsaw. But it's now time for the quiz, everyone. Let's go. Okay. So, you know the format by now. It's five questions. We get the same question each. We get a top bin question that is worth two. We can take that at any point if we want to. And the hostess with the most S is producer John. Now, a lot of people absolutely slaughtering you for being a big lazy bastard because I heard this as well because I was driving home the other night and I heard Clyde One Super Scoreboard and the tiebreaker question was how many international goals did Julie Fleeting score? And I was like, oh, I recognise that question because that was Ewan's top bin question from last week.
Correct.
So is this is what you're doing now? You're basically writing questions for this quiz and then the ones that you think you can sort of reuse because you're a big lazy bastard, you use on Beat the Pundit.
Sometimes,
is that how it works?
Sometimes I do because I've got to write 45 questions on Scottish football.
Oh, John.
There's always so many questions. Oh. I thought that was a good question.
You've
so
got such a hard shift sometimes.
Honestly, you really do.
Right, let's get on with these super scoreboard questions then.
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone wants to win Beat the Pundit this week, here are your questions. Let's get cracked on with question number one then.
All Scotland this week, boys, since it's international break.
Okay.
Well, all international Scotland?
Yeah, all Scotland questions.
Here we go.
You should be good at this.
Yeah, I know, but go on.
Right, okay then. First off, question number one. Who did Scotland face in their first game at Italia 90? Who did Scotland face first in their first game at Italia 90?
I mean, I was one at the time, and I know the answer. So.
Yeah, just double checking. Yeah, I've got it.
You got your answer.
I've got it. I've got it. I've just
gone
through it in my head.
Right, okay.
We beat Sweden in the second game 2-1.
And then we lost
Brazil. No, lost to Brazil.
82nd
minute.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Both saying Costa Rica. Where's my. Someone's deleted my goal sound effect!
Oh, no.
Who's deleted my goal sound effect?
Somebody deleted that.
Anyway.
Well, you go and find it. And I remember watching that Costa Rica game, right? We were all over them. We battered them. Alan McAnally missed a sitter with a header, which he should have scored with. They score. We're basically their only attack of the game, and we lose it 1-0. We then bounce back, and we beat Sweden, and we were really good against Sweden. We beat them 2-1.
Stuart McCall scored,
aye. And Aitken scored as well.
Roy Aitken.
We won 2-1. Really good. And then we've got Brazil. And all we need to do is avoid defeat. Avoid defeat against Brazil.
Against Brazil.
But we were brilliant on the night. And it was an 82nd minute goal.
Was it Jim Leighton?
It beats his near post. It's a shot from outside the box in his near post. Should have done better. But we were great on the night. Mo Johnston. What a chance here to equalise in like the 88th minute. To get us through into the knockout stages. Mo Johnston, of all the players you wanted in that position, you'd want Mo Johnston there than they happened.
Anyway, great to reminisce, Ewan.
I was just killing time until you got your...
It was good, Phil, mate. It was good, Phil. I appreciate
cheers, bud.
That.
You're welcome.
Right, okay, question number two. Behind Kenny Dalglish and Dennis Law, who is Scotland's next top goal scorer? Behind Kenny Dalglish and Dennis Law, who is Scotland's next top goal scorer?
I've got no idea. I don't think
John McGinn's just scraped into top five.
Yeah,
he's on level with McCoist.
That's why I've asked the question, because it's
been one. Well, in that case, I think I've got the right answer, because obviously I think you've got McCoist and McGinn on 19. I think this person has 23, and I think obviously, Law and Dalglish have got 30. So,
you've got an answer?
Yeah, I've got an answer.
All right, okay.
Okay, you can go first, Ewan.
I went with the lawman.
Did you actually listen to the question, Ewan? Did you actually listen to the question?
What was the question?
Behind Terry Dalglish and Dennis Law, who's Scotland's next top goal scorer? Are you an absolute idiot?
Kenny Miller.
No wonder you lose this game. No, I'm accepting Dennis Law because you've not answered the question. They always say, listen to the question.
I only know this because I think I read it. I do a lot of reading, and I think it's Laurie Riley.
And Marshall is saved! Yes!
Huey Gallagher. I knew it was an old person.
I've seen it. I've seen that name. You're right. I knew it was an old person. Because they put the graphic up. You're right. It's Huey Laurie.
It's not Huey Laurie.
Huey Gallagher.
He plays House.
It's great in Blackadder. Honestly, fantastic. Scored a few good goals as well.
Right. Why did I put? I didn't even listen to the question.
But you would have said Kenny Miller. You wouldn't have said Huey. You wouldn't have said Huey Laurie.
No, but as in a sense, why did I put Dennis Law?
Yeah, it was, you know.
Right, okay, next question. Rowan question Atkinson. Number three. One. Who is the only member of the current Scotland squad to play for Stenismuir? Who is the only member of the current Scotland squad to play for Stenismuir?
Scotland squad, yeah?
Yeah. The current Scotland squad.
I have no idea what I think this.
I've got an answer, Ewan. I don't know where this has come from.
If this is right, this is
stunning. If it's right, it'll be stunning because I don't know the answer, but something said this is it. What have you gone with?
Is it Craig Gordon?
I thought it was Andy Robertson on loan from Dundee United.
I think Craig Gordon might have gone on loan for a wee bit to Stenhousemuir. That's the only thing.
Andy Robertson for me from Dundee United when he was a young lad.
Two different answers. Both.
And Marshall is saved!
He's a clue!
Yes!
He's just recently won his first cap.
Doak? No, it can't be Doak.
It's Ben Doak, it's Stenismuir.
Conway?
No.
No. Gold?
No.
No.
Where's he play about?
Wing back.
Ralston?
No.
Oh, Nicky Devlin.
Yes, Nicky Devlin.
I would never have got that in a million years. Never have got that.
It's an unbelievable story. I think he was released at Stenny. I think he was released at Stenny. He's just worked his way back up, and now he's got Scotland cap.
Well, as I said, I mind him playing for Ayr United when Dunfermline won League One, and I always thought he's very good. So, and then I think he went down south after Ayr United came back up. So, yeah, good for him.
Right, one question and four.
Right, you should get this one right. Right, nice easy one. Name any country Scotland to have 100% win rate against. There are several answers for that. So you've got to name any country that Scotland have a 100% win rate against. 60 seconds, go.
Yeah.
I wonder if we've both gone for the same answer.
You both
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar. That's what I've gone for as well.
Right, hold on. I'm just pulling this up.
What do you mean, hold on? Of course, we've got 100% record against Gibraltar.
Yeah, we do.
But
do you know what? I was
going to
give you some of the other answers.
All right, okay, right. Can we guess?
We'll go for that because that's it.
Malta.
San Marino. San Marino.
Faroes, Knox, we drew 2-2 with them.
Yeah.
How many is there?
There's loads. There's actually loads. Hold on, I'm just getting.
Because there are teams. Because we drew by Iran.
Oh, 1-1.
I think there's probably teams that we've played once and never played them again.
Like at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Zaire.
Yeah, like Zaire, for example. New Zealand, presumably.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My computer's broke.
John!
My computer's broke!
Don't tease us with answers like this and then not have the answers to hand.
They were to hand and then they just...
New Zealand, 82, we won 5-2.
And I presume...
Right, I will go... Do you want the full list?
Yeah.
Albania, Armenia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Canada's Olympic team, Chile... CIS.
Chile?
We've probably only
played them once.
We've played them twice and beat them twice. There you go. Cyprus, Ecuador, Gibraltar, as you guys said. Hong Kong League 11. I think Lee Bullen played for the Hong Kong League 11. I think he did, I think you're right. So there you go. Iceland. We've got 100% against Iceland, which is unbelievable. Latvia, Liechtenstein, San Marino, Trinidad and Tobago.
Zaire.
Yeah.
Trinidad and Tobago would be at Easter Road.
I was at that game.
Right. Did Nigel Quasi score?
Nigel Quasi scored.
Do you know who else scored? Stevie Crawford got a double.
Is that 4-1 or 5? I was at that
4-1, I think it was, yeah. Right, anyway, final question.
2-2.
Are you going for your top bin?
No. You tempted?
Oh, what if I do, though?
Good, and I get because they've been all right, these Scotland questions.
I don't know.
If you go for it, then
you said you've been all right, you've got two wrong.
If you go for it, then it forces me to go for it. My top bin.
And if you go for it, it forces me to go for it.
Yeah, if you get it right.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting to see what you say first.
I'm quite happy to go with the normal question.
Yeah, let's do it. Right. Normal question.
Take my chance at a tie break.
Yeah.
Question number 5. Who were the last set of brothers to play together for Scotland?
I think this is the right answer. I'll wait the now.
Brothers.
They have had to be on the park at the same time. They played together for Scotland.
Oh, that's hard.
It's not really.
I've got two answers.
I am desperately struggling here.
No.
Steven's got two answers. Maybe he could give one to you. Ian.
Shut up, you. I don't need his charity.
Can you tell me the answer then? I'll give him the wrong one.
No. I don't need his charity.
Right, Ewan, have you got something written down?
I don't, mate.
You've seriously not. Write something down.
If
Steven's got this,
if I don't know, I can't give you an answer.
So that's you. You're
I'm out.
You're out.
So I'll tell you what's happened here. I initially straight away wrote down the Caldwell brothers.
Oh, Stephen and Gary,
because they played against Norway and we got battered.
Yeah, I remember 4-0. That day, 4-0 away in Oslo.
However,
I was fucking there.
However,
I was in Oslo that day because George Burnley was in charge.
I think one of the McGinn brothers that isn't John got a call up and played. I think it might have been Paul. So my answer is the McGinn brothers. But my only concern is if John wasn't playing.
You're saying that the McGinn brothers, Paul and John...
See, if it's the Caldwell brothers, I was in Oslo that day at Real Radio when George Burley was in charge, and afterwards, I wanted him to get the sack.
Speaking, I don't need to hear this. I'm building up the tension.
And I got banned from the media conference in Norway because of it.
Right.
I think.
So you're saying John and Paul McGinn.
I think it's the Caldwell brothers.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Sets of brothers.
Three?
Since... wartime.
Three!
Have played together for Scotland.
Derek and Darren Young.
No, they've not played together.
No, I'm joking.
Who are the three?
Well, the Caldwell brothers.
The Caldwell brothers are definitely one, but is there one after the Caldwell brothers? Because, like you say, they both played in that 4-0 defeat to Norway.
Yeah.
Stephen?
Yeah.
Has got it spot on.
Sake, man.
John and Paul McGinn played against Austria. Paul came off the bench in a 1-0 win in September 2021.
Yeah. I'm not even going to be, like, you know, I'm not going to gloat this week because that was a good match. You actually did well there, Ewan, for a change. And
you're patronising me.
I'm not being patronising. I'm being complimentary.
No, you're being patronising.
That was good. That went right down at the wire.
You're speaking to me like I'm a fucking 5-year-old at primary school.
Ewan, that's what
you're doing.
You did really well
there. Yeah. Everyone can hear it.
You did really well
Everyone can hear
your wee pouch. So, you're still going to leave, even though I'm being really...
I'm being nice to you.
I'm saying that was a really, really good match. It was a good matchup. You did well there. You just came up a wee bit short.
John, does that sound patronising to you?
I don't think so.
I think it sounds really patronising. It's like as if we're sat in school.
I'm being genuine.
Like going, you've been a good boy today. You've done really well today, but
you have done really well.
But trying to do better next week.
I didn't say that.
No,
because obviously I don't want you to win next week. But all I'm saying that was a good. It was a good clean game.
You need to show a bit more respect.
I am showing respect. Right, bye, Ewan.
I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt. You still got fucking plenty to do because you're fucking shy.
Bye, Ewan. Every week. There he goes. Bye-bye, Ewan. Nice doing a podcast with you. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you very much for all your feedback. Keep it coming on YouTube, obviously, as well, and on @BigFootballScott. You can get in touch for Overrated, which this week is, of course, Freed From Desire by Gala. The song, is it overrated? You can have your say next week on the podcast. And anything else, of course, we've got the return of club football at the weekend as well. We'll have all that to go through. And of course, Scotland in Poland tonight. Mon the Scotland, a win and a Croatian defeat. Well, pretty much, unless we're real unlucky, see us through. So fingers crossed, mon the Scotland. Speak to you next week. Cheerio, bye.